XEO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Police in New Mexico say they do not suspect foul play after they discovered the bodies of actor Gene Hackman, his wife, and their dog at their home in Santa Fe. CBS's Jared Hill.
What we're learning here is that law enforcement were called to the house around 1:45 yesterday afternoon for a welfare check. And that's where they found them dead inside the home yesterday afternoon. We don't know the circumstances. There's still so many questions about exactly what happened here.
Hackman was 95. Fired USAID workers are heading back to their old offices one last time. CBS's Christina Carujo from Washington.
They are allowed to go into the building. They will be escorted. They'll have approximately about 50 minutes to pick up their personal items.
British Prime Minister Keir Starmer meets with President Trump at the White House today.
First off, on a very basic level, I think to try to make sure that this U.S.-UK special relationship doesn't go up in flames.
CBS's Remy Innocencio. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
I'm Brittany Merlot with WXCO News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WXCO website at BullFallsRadio.com. For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Congressman Derek Van Orden, as well as all of Wisconsin's Republican representatives, voted in favor of a House budget resolution Tuesday. The measure passed by two votes, with all House Democrats voting against it, and all but one Republican voting for it. Van Orden says that the budget resolution does not include cuts to programs such as Social Security, Medicare, or Medicaid, and anyone saying otherwise is lying. Democratic Congressman Mark Pocan said the plan reduces funding for health care and food assistance. And hundreds of Wisconsinites gathered outside Senator Ron Johnson's office in Madison on Tuesday to protest possible cuts to Medicaid in the Republican House budget. Their budget proposal includes over $880 billion in cuts to the committee that oversees Medicaid. In Wisconsin and across the country, Republican representatives have faced spirited crowds at town halls, voicing their concerns over the political cuts. Some have even agreed with their constituents that cuts to Medicaid programs would be a mistake. And the grandparent scam is making a comeback. Stuart J. Waddles has more about recent reports from southeastern Wisconsin.
Ozaukee County officials say they've gotten a couple of reports this week about the ruse where scammers impersonate grandchildren to extort money. The scam typically involves a caller claiming to be a grandchild in legal trouble, requesting money to avoid arrest. Experts say it's helpful to have a code word for those situations and that people should report the calls when they get them.
And Wisconsin has officially joined the U.S. Department of Agriculture's National Milk Testing Strategy. The program is meant to track bird flu through raw milk samples as the highly contagious virus continues to spread across the country. Officials are still working to determine how and when testing will be conducted. The virus has not yet been detected in Wisconsin's dairy cows, but has appeared in a few bird flocks. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
The Packers willing to trade. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, where it's been reported the Packers are taking offers to trade away defensive back Jaire Alexander. He was a first-round pick for the Pack in 2018. Green Bay has not drafted a receiver in the first round in over 20 years. Why not? GM Brian Gutekunst.
You know, it's funny. It's never been like a philosophical thing we've talked about through my time in Green Bay. It's never been something, hey, like we don't want to take wide receivers in the first round. There are certainly opportunities we've had. We thought that was going to happen, and for whatever reason, it didn't. But at the same time, we've had a lot of second-round receivers that have been pretty good players for us.
NBA, the Bucks face the Denver Nuggets tonight at Fiserv Forum. Brooke Lopez on defending Denver center Nikola Jokic.
You know, I'll be on the point of attack a bit, doing my job, just try to be physical with him, make things as difficult as possible as you can for him, and trusting I got my teammates behind me.
That's the Bucks' Brooke Lopez. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A little breezy this morning, but the wind will die down this afternoon. It'll be mostly cloudy with a high in the upper 30s today. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 25. Some light rain or snow showers, mainly sprinkles here. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, very windy, with a high in the low 40s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
Nothing you could say could tear me away from my dog. My dog is shallow, y'all. Hi, I'm Smokey Robinson.
When you adopt a shelter pet, you not only bring joy and love into your home, you also give another animal the chance to experience that special bond. Join me in supporting American Humane Society and their incredible work to help our most vulnerable friends. Together, we can make a real difference. Donate today at AmericanHumane.org.
The Todd Alba Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Key and Peele writer Rich Tallarico, who wrote the iconic substitute teacher sketch. Rich will also make the popcorn pick of the week. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Get really going here this morning.
I like that.
Do my Robin Williams. Have you seen Good Morning Vietnam?
Oh, classic.
Good morning, Vietnam. No, I can't do it. I'm no Robin Williams. Good morning, Central Wisconsin.
Gets me every time.
There you go. That was a wonderful movie. Guy that's missed. Boy, what a career he had as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like when we talk about Gene Hackman. Before I get off on a tangent here, let me set things up. It is Thursday morning, February the 27th of 2025. It is 37 degrees under overcast skies. My name is Chad Holmes. His name is Ian Welsh. We are with you this morning for the Chad Holmes Show. 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app and at YouTube.com and the 98.9 WXCO page on the YouTube. You can join us by calling or texting us at 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297 to join us here this morning. Coming up in just a few minutes at 9:21. We'll be joined by Susan Crawford, who is a candidate for the Wisconsin State Supreme Court election coming up in just over a month's time. So it'll be very nice to talk to Judge Crawford up at 9:21. Then at 9:34, we're going to talk to Cohen Preby, D.C. Everest High School senior, a young man that's been a four-year player for the Evergreen Boys basketball team, all-conference performer. But then he suffered a significant injury, a foot injury in football, in the final game of the football season. He had decided to play football this year and was of great help to the Evergreens, who made it to the state semifinals, but then missed a big chunk of the basketball season. He has returned. So I wanted to talk about that tough aspect for a few months where he had to miss basketball here in his senior year and now heading towards the playoffs. So Cohen Preby coming up at 9:34. And then coming up at 9:51, it will be our daily history lesson. We will talk about some famous events that have been celebrated in history, or maybe not celebrated, celebrity birthdays, and also special events being acknowledged, and also we will have our number for the day.
Yes.
And Ian Welsh will be our test subject again, because every morning we wrap things up by giving Ian the number for the day quiz. One answer is correct. Two are incorrect. So based on the math, he should get one out of three right just by guessing, 33%. But that has proven harder than one would think recently.
Yes, it has.
3 weeks in a row, you've had one out of five.
Yeah.
But
it's not very good.
But already, we're just past the midway point of the week with 3 days down, 2 days to go. And you've already clinched a passing week. You're two out of three so far this week.
It's looking pretty good.
So you have got a passing week. Now we want a winning week.
Yes.
Which, of course, is
winning week.
Getting more right than wrong. And we would love to see you be able to get a match of your best ever week. If you get today and tomorrow right, you'd have four out of five. And that would tie things up. So, yep. So that will be the end of the show. But that is Ian Welsh. Good morning to you, Ian Welsh.
Good morning, Chad.
How are things for you this morning? Anything that we should know about before we get moving on this lovely Thursday morning?
Well, not very too much. Last few days, it's been a little quiet. I haven't been auditioning for any shows recently. I know there's been a couple of auditions in the past few weeks, but I'm actually keeping my focus on the auditions that are coming up, not this coming weekend, but the weekend after that, because the Wausau Community Theater is doing a auditions for their summer show, Hanastasia. And I've been checking the signups, and there is quite a few people signed up for both days of auditions. There's over 50 people already.
Very good, and there'll be a lot of competition, but you tend to have it. You're part of the cream that rises to the top, so we have confidence things will go okay for you in that respect, so best of luck as you get to that. Real quickly, later in the show, we have celebrity birthdays. I wanted to mention one, a celebrity who would have been celebrating his birthday today, but had passed away, and one of my all-time favorite shows, and if you're in radio, you have to have loved WKRP in Cincinnati.
Oh.
I mean, I can never get enough of WKRP in Cincinnati. And I think of a wonderful cast. I mean, the way I look at television shows, especially, if you're changing the cast constantly, then it means there's something wrong.
Yeah.
That, you know, something's not working. But WKRP in Cincinnati, the original WKRP in Cincinnati, they had a new WKRP in Cincinnati years later, but I don't count that. But I'm talking about the original WKRP in Cincinnati that ran, I think, for 4 years. Their cast never changed because I think it was a perfect cast. I started with the big guy, Arthur Carlson, played by Gordon Jump. He had Les Nessman, the news guy.
Yep.
Had Andy Travis, had Herb Tarlick, the loud clothes sales rep, had Jennifer Marlowe, played by Lonnie Anderson, the receptionist, Bailey Quarters, the copywriter and then news person, Venus Flytrap, and then, of course, Dr. Johnny Fever, played by the great Howard Hessman. And today would have been Howard Hessman's birthday. He was born on this date in 1940, he would have been 85 years old. And I don't know, I think a lot of people are remembering it, but I wanted to take an opportunity to remember him because I just think, number one, he was a very interesting man as well. People should read about him. He was somebody who lived quite a life. In fact, he came of age in San Francisco in the 1960s and for this improv comedy group named The Committee. And the first time I ever came across The Committee, and it had some really talented people in it. Among the other actors in it was Peter Bonners, and he played the dentist on the original Bob Newhart show. But I saw The Committee on old episodes of the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour, and it was just hilarious stuff. And Howard Hessman was incredibly funny. And also, I'm a big fan of Dragnet, the Jack Webb series, Sergeant Joe Friday. Back in the late 60s, Harry Morgan, who went on to play Colonel Potter in MASH, he was Jack Webb's partner, Officer Bill Gannon, and Howard Hespin actually had a guest shot on Dragnet. And Dragnet is not supposed to be a comedy or be funny, but I always laughed a lot at Dragnet because Jack Webb played his character so seriously. And looking back and some of the way that he handled some of these cases, I find hilarious. In fact, I have Dragnet on DVD. I mean, I'm that big of a fan. But Howard Hespin was a guest on that, and he was great on that. But I just had to mention this morning because as a radio person, WKRP is such a... sometimes situation comedies, and some of the episodes, you know, you're not realistic. And I know radio people are driven nuts because during the radio aspects, when they turn on the microphone, they're never wearing headphones.
Oh, yeah.
And you can also hear the music because when you turn on the microphone, you don't hear the audio on the speakers in a studio.
Right.
They cut it off because there'd be some sort of, you know, a little bit of a backwash with it. So radio people, that's not, you know, they get all upset about that. But some of the other aspects of it, some of the storylines really were that you could identify with if you have worked in radio for a long time. Some of the interpersonal relationships you could understand as well. So here
one of my favorite episodes of the show was the famous a turkey drop.
Yeah,
episode.
The turkey drop.
Because you didn't actually see it happening because it was on radio. You had to imagine what was happening. It just... some great lines in that. But the final line of that episode was just the real punchline. It's like, as a God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
And actually,
puts the whole episode in perspective. Like, he didn't know.
And actually, one of my favorite parts of that show, that episode, is they had less talking to the camera, and as he was describing what was happening, and then they cut to the studio where Andy Bailey and Johnny Fever were in there, and all of a sudden you hear Les's voice on the speakers. And he's saying, oh, they're dropping something, you know. And then all of a sudden he realizes they're turkeys. He goes, oh, my God, they're turkeys. They're dropping like wet cement. And you see Howard Hespin and Johnny Fever start to smile because you could see the humor in it at that very moment. So, again, if you're somebody who has never seen WKRP in Cincinnati, I would encourage you to find
a DVD at your local library.
There you go.
They have the whole series on DVD.
Very nice, very nice. Hey, before we get to our break and then Judge Crawford, do you want to know what the... because I forgot to mention. Would you like to know the topic?
What is the topic for today's number?
Yeah, so we get to the number for the day at the very end of the program. The topic, supermarket grocery carts.
Supermarket grocery carts.
Sort of an odd little subject here today.
Okay.
Supermarket grocery carts. So that will be our number for the day quiz. So that is coming up. With Ian Walsh, I'm Chad Holmes. Coming up, Judge Susan Crawford. We'll be talking to her coming up next. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
Listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, Wausau's home for Up North News Radio.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Paul.
We're from the Wausau Business Show, 100% action-packed Wausau every Saturday, 8 to 9 on Bull Falls 98.9 WXCO. We're also available on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts.
You're nailing it. Keep going.
WausauBusiness.com. We broadcast from the tippy top of Rib Mountain. So we'll see you Saturday, Wausaunians.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening and loving Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Yamato,
the drummers of Japan return to the Grand Theater in Wausau with their Power of Human Strength tour. Experience the explosive energy of these talented musicians when they take the stage on Friday, March 7th. With more than 40 different taiko drums, Yamato engulfs the audience in energetic sound. Yamato. Tickets at grandtheater.org.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 98.9 FM and 1230 AM, Bull Falls Radio.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
And welcome back to Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. The time is 9:21. Coming up later today, we're going to get a campaign visit here in Wausau. One of the candidates for the state Supreme Court, Judge Susan Crawford, will be paying a visit to our community. In fact, she's on her way now, and we're very happy as she makes the trek to spend a few minutes with Judge Crawford. And first of all, Judge, thank you for spending a little time with us.
Well, good morning, Chad. It is a pleasure to be here.
Well, number one, let's get right into it, because one thing that I noticed, I was talking yesterday on the program, actually, it was kind of funny that when I get home from work and when I want to get away from it all, I like to watch YouTube. And I see a lot of ads going up against you on YouTube, a lot of money already in this race. But I wanted to get through all of those commercials and everything else and ask a simple question. What is your judicial philosophy? What would you bring to the state Supreme Court that that we aren't finding out in a lot of these 15 or 30-second commercials that are bombarding us?
Yeah. Well, thanks for that, Chad. You know, I'm bringing common sense and a sense of right from wrong. So my judicial philosophy is pretty simple. I always make sure I get the facts right, because I think the truth is really important in our justice system. And make sure that I'm applying the law fairly and impartially. And I really pay attention to the people in my courtroom and what their dispute is, and just try to get to a practical, common sense decision under the law that protects their rights. So
I think that is very important. And another question. I think another question that I'm sorry, you kind of broke up there. I thought you had stopped here. I'm sorry about that.
on the road. Sorry about that.
No problem at all. One thing for myself over the years, and I've talked to people about judicial races over the years, the idea of equal justice under law. And one thing that kind of concerned me in comments made by the former Attorney General, Mr. Schimmel, was talking about the January 6th folks and being concerned about that they were being treated unfairly. And my thought is there have been a lot of people that away from those folks who I thought there was a lot of evidence that they did what they did, that are not treated fairly within the system. How do you look at the idea of equal justice under law? How close are we in our society to getting to a point where we do have equal justice under law?
Well, it's something that I really work for every day in my courtroom as a judge. So, you know, if somebody is sitting there in the courtroom with a high-priced lawyer, you know, backing them up, making their arguments for them, or if they're sitting in court all by themselves presenting their own case, I really try to make sure there's an even playing field and that everybody gets their day in court. And sometimes that means for the person that doesn't have a lawyer that, you know, I need to give them some instructions on how the procedure works in the court, just to make sure that they have that opportunity. So I think it's really important. I do think that we continue to see inequalities in our justice system, and largely that is because some people just don't have the same resources that others do to make their cases. You know, there's a real scarcity of lawyers in our state who are available at an affordable cost to help people, and that's really concerning to me, but I do everything I can in my own courtroom to make sure that everybody gets a fair shake.
Talk a little bit about your background, because right now you say running a courtroom as a judge, but you've had plenty of other experiences. You've seen the system from many different angles, haven't you?
I sure have. Yep. And you know, I grew up in Chippewa Falls, so that's kind of where I got my values and what made me the person I am today. But I started my legal career as a prosecutor at the Wisconsin Department of Justice, handling the toughest felony cases all the way to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and later represented people in our courtrooms across the state, often when their rights had been taken away by the government. So this is, I was representing voters. I represented public school teachers. I also represented Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin and their doctors to make sure that they could provide health care services to women. So that's all important part of my experience, and I've now been on the bench as a judge for 6.5 years or so, and have handled every kind of case that comes through our trial courts, our circuit courts, and I just have really broad experience and deep experience, and I think that'll serve me well on the Supreme Court.
On April 1st, and even before then, with early voting, people will see two names on the ballot, yourself and Brad Schimmel. What are the differences? Oh, as you talk to people, as you talk about yourself, but also there's always a comparison. Makes you the better choice in this race?
Yeah. Well, just described kind of my career, I've always worked hard to protect the rights of Wisconsinites under our laws and under our Constitution, make sure we have safe communities, common sense principles like, somebody... whether they're a person or whether they're a corporation, if they've harmed our community, I believe they need to be held accountable. The big contrast, I think, with between me and my opponent, Brad Schimmel, is that he's a partisan politician. He's somebody that has an extreme agenda, and he's trying to bring a political agenda to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And I think we're seeing that definitely play out in this race. He's now got Elon Musk spending millions of dollars backing him, and Elon Musk has openly said that he wants Brad Schimmel on the Supreme Court to advance the Trump agenda. So, that's not what the Wisconsin Supreme Court is about. It's about making fair, impartial decisions and protecting the rights of Wisconsinites under our laws. And that's what I intend to do on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, not to pursue some political agenda.
And finally, I guess in our final moments here, how hard is it to fight back against that kind of money? When the richest person in the world decides they don't want you in this position, I imagine as you go put your head on the pillow once in a while, you think, how did I get myself into a situation like this?
Yeah, when I was a kid growing up in Chippewa Falls, I just never could have imagined that I would be fighting the richest man in the world to protect justice in Wisconsin. It's just, kind of mind-blowing. But it's worth a fight, and they're, going to probably continue to dump money into this campaign, running these, terrible false ads against me. And we're just going to, I'm going to keep my head up and keep getting the word out and using what I call people power, the grassroots, to help people understand what the real choice in this race is all about.
Judge Susan Crawford, I appreciate you as you're on the road spending a few minutes with us. It's terrific you're coming here to Central Wisconsin to talk to the voters here as well. But best of luck on your travels, and hopefully we'll be able to talk again.
Oh, thanks so much, Chad.
That is Judge Susan Crawford, again, candidate for the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. We're going to take a time out, and they can come right back. We have an information update straight ahead. News, weather, sports, entertainment all coming up, and then more of the Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun.
It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Republican state lawmakers are seeking co-sponsorship for legislation that would direct the Wisconsin Public Service Commission to conduct a study identifying potential locations for nuclear power plants. The study would seek to identify potential new sites and opportunities to expand nuclear power generation at existing facilities. The agency would also need to cut 30 days off of the standard 180-day approval process for facilities with an advanced nuclear reactor. Wisconsin currently only has one operational nuclear facility. And after a couple of years of delays, a new pitch finally might pop up in southeastern Wisconsin. Stuart J. Waddles tells us more.
The Iron District Soccer Stadium in Milwaukee is set to break ground by early to mid-summer. Construction costs and financing issues are being blamed for delays, according to the Milwaukee Business Journal. The developers now say they're aiming to have the facility ready for the 2026 United Soccer League season. The $220 million project includes an 8,000-seat stadium, a hotel, and an events venue near Marquette University. Federal grants awarded by Governor Tony Evers helped advance the project.
And as the NFL draft comes to Green Bay, nine local breweries came together for a special brew just for the draft. Lisa Hale has the details.
The 8th Round Downtown Pale Ale is a special collaborative brew by nine Green Bay area breweries to celebrate the upcoming NFL draft. Mary Rhodes with On Broadway said the beer will be a big part of the special events planned for draft week.
I think with the Touchdown Downtown events that we're doing, we're really trying to give certainly locals, but also all of that influx of visitors, really a taste of Green Bay and a taste of Northeast Wisconsin. And a big part of that certainly is the local craft beer that we make here in Green Bay.
The special brew will be available at the Draft City Music Fest and at local breweries.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. John Hughes was the king of teenage comedies, pretty much up until his sudden death in 2009. At a recent event in Hollywood, producer Adam Fields says Hughes sent him the initial script for The Breakfast Club as a play that was all set in one classroom. When asked about a potential remake, Fields said he did not think the film could be remade because it is character-driven, whereas everything these days is mostly concept-driven. The Breakfast Club recently celebrated the 40th year since its release. The cast of the Oscar-nominated film Conclave, a film about selecting the new pope after the death of a pope, has a lot on their mind, like a potential Best Picture win at the Oscars this coming weekend after winning the Outstanding Performance by a Cast in a Motion Picture last Sunday at the Screen Actors Guild Awards. Members of the cast wished real-life Pope Francis well as he has been hospitalized with health issues at 88 years old. Isabella Rossellini said, "We love this pope and are worried for him. Life imitating art or art imitating life." For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
A little breezy this morning, but the wind will die down this afternoon. It'll be mostly cloudy with a high in the upper 30s today. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 25, some light rain or snow showers, mainly sprinkles here. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, very windy, with a high in the low 40s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian Lamack, defend the vote.
The SAVE Act will make it harder for all Americans to vote. Now you need a passport. Wisconsin specific, 5 million people don't have a passport. Now it's $130 per passport.
Even if you can afford to get a passport, that is a months-long process. Unless you planned a year ahead, you're not going to be able to vote.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the Global Cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look at a very nuanced topic, Joann Fabrics closing. Does it affect you? Also, what's worse? Food Edition. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Hey And welcome back to At Home Show, 98.9 WXCO. Online, WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. 9:34 on this overcast Thursday morning, 37 degrees. Exciting time in high school sports and playoffs underway. Hockey, girls basketball, boys basketball next week. And last night, had a chance to talk to one of the top seniors in the area. Senior guard for the D.C. Everest boys basketball team, Cohen Preby. And a young man who had been an all-conference performer, but had to suffer an injury in football that cost him some time during the course of the first part of the season on the hardwood. And last night on the Big High School Sports Show, myself and Jeff Gress had a chance to talk to Cohen Preby about coming back from that injury and a whole bunch more. I wanted to bring you on because we obviously talked before, but talk about it was a little bit of a smoother run when we last talked a year ago. And this year it's been obviously, we talk about ups and downs. I imagine that really is apropos for what you've been going through between the fall, your football season, getting injured at the very worst time, right at the end of the in the second half of your state semifinal, and then having to work your way back here in the winter. I guess before we get to specifics, what has the process been like emotionally? Because I imagine in your senior year, you have so much that you want to accomplish, to have to sit out and rehab in a big part of your basketball season, that to be very difficult.
Yeah, especially early on in my injury, like right when it happened, I knew basketball was coming around the corner. It was pretty hard for me. Just that I had to watch the guys, you know, sit at practice, watch a couple of few games. But, you know, as I started, you know, getting off the cast, getting off the crutches, I started gaining hope that I would get back like as soon as possible. And, you know, it's kind of started resonating with me that I would be back soon. Mm-hmm. So I was definitely a better lot than it was early on.
Well, how do you do it? When I used to say our players would get hurt, like, you know, blow their knee out in football season and then maybe have hopes to make it in the last game. I mean, I feel bad. You know, high school injuries stink. I hate them. I feel really bad for any players.
There's no red shirts.
Yeah, and you don't get it back. I mean, what do you do to make that time not only constructive for yourself but also stay engaged? You know, it's practice is sometimes hard enough when you got to participate in it because you want to get to the game, and now you got to sit there and watch all these guys. I mean, what was the mental aspect, or what did you do for yourself to try to stay engaged in that? I gotta imagine that's difficult.
Yeah. I tried to stay, especially like close with my teammates, just trying to help them out, like teach them as much as I knew. That really helped me stay focused with the team and kind of try to keep them like rolling while I was out. And then just trying to stay positive and like hoping I'll get back eventually.
And I gotta imagine it's as much as also a good psychiatric session where being around your buddies also helps you forget things, mellow out, you know, that camaraderie, because that tightness is why you're there too at the same time for that team bonding.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we did team bond a lot, and it was, you know, obviously not playing. I got to, you know, kind of get to know guys more like on a personal level, you know, where I would be able to relate to them. So it definitely helped when I got back to know guys more, know what they were doing, and yeah, stuff like that, yeah.
Something you said before we went on the air, because you know, I asked you about the injury, and you said no regrets. Can you maybe talk about the idea? Because you have been a really terrific basketball player for a number of years. You were part of a great run for your football team. But at the same time, I'm thinking, you know, but you don't want to miss a big chunk of your senior year. But you say, nope, I have no regrets. Can you talk a bit about your thought on that, on playing football, taking what we call a risk and being injured, and then looking back and saying, well, still no regrets? Why do you feel that way?
Yeah, so obviously basketball is my favorite sport, but football, I still just had a love for the game. And I talked to my parents this summer about playing, and I was kind of on the fence, but, you know, they really pushed me, because, like, when I got older, would I be like, you know, do I regret not playing football? And I said yes. So I decided to play, and, I mean, great, great run. So, I mean, for any, like, high school kids out there, I would say never – not play a sport because you're focused on another sport. It's nice to, obviously, like, you don't want to miss your senior season of basketball, but playing football was, I had some of the best times of my life playing with the guys, and I had so much fun playing football.
And looking, you know, going into the basketball seasons, and when you shared, you know, I got to know my teammates that much better. How about some of the things that some of your buddies bring to the court? Because obviously you got time to watch them, maybe time to even critique a little bit, yeah. help out a little bit, because you could see so much of what they have. And I think that's what's going to make you guys that dangerous team down the stretch, is because you haven't seen yourselves at full strength. Like you said, you're getting back in the flow. But some of your teammates, who do you got with you, and what do they bring to the table that you enjoy about being part of the Everest team with them?
Yeah, so senior with us, Casey Studeman, he's one of my good buddies. You know, he brings a lot of leadership, good play down low. He's a good post, hard matchup every night. Cade Felch, junior, he's really been stepping up this year, really stepped up when I was injured. Really good shooter, good leadership as well. Xavier Edwards, played receiver with him. He's really strong, like offensively, and then defensively he's athletic. Vander Truex, sophomore, really, he crashes the offensive glass hard, which is big for us, because I mean when you get an offensive rebound, it's huge. You know, momentum shift, usually you get a bucket right after it. And yeah, it rounds out our sideline. Then we have Brendan Peterson, Chase Pavlovich, are seniors who are both really, really nice guys, really nice teammates. They do a lot of like the junkyard dog work, you would say, you know, play defense, dive on loose balls. So yeah.
Are a lot of those guys football and basketball players?
Yeah. Brendan and Xavier and Vander are, yeah. Okay. So a couple, yeah.
And I'm assuming that only helps in so many ways to be around each other more often, where it just trickles into the different seasons for you.
Yeah, I know, obviously, playing with football with them, I just with them pretty much fall and winter, so learn a lot about them and, you know, in their life and get closer to them.
Again, we're talking to Colin Preby from D.C. Everest, senior for the Evergreen Boys basketball team here on 98.9 WXCO. I imagine that this season is almost like trying to jump into a car that's moving, because the season's going on, and then, hey, you're ready to go.
Yeah.
Got to jump into that vehicle and try to get up to speed as quickly as possible. What did you find out in the early games? Was it more difficult than maybe even you thought? Because I imagine that when you got out on the court, you felt pretty good physically. Mm-hmm. But I imagine missing that game time was kind of difficult.
Yeah, especially so during the summer, we played really well as a team. I thought our chemistry got a lot better. And then obviously coming back in the season, it was kind of weird because I was kind of just, it's like, feels like you're just kind of getting thrown back out there. So kind of, you know, guys sort of adapting to different things in the game. And, you know, we started getting a lot more, like, pick and roll stuff. And it was, you know, I was kind of like, I was trying to, like, move around. But, like, maybe I was running into guys or, you know, I wasn't mentally, like, I haven't played the game in a while. Mm-hmm. So it kind of, it's weird because you kind of just forget things kind of. Like, it just, you forget where guys are going to be. And then kind of, we kind of just had to redo our offense kind of mid-season, right, which is obviously hard, but I think we're hitting our right stride right about now, and it's perfect for playoffs.
And I gotta imagine we've talked off air about it with you coming back, like, it's just you need time to hit your stride, because as hard as you try to recreate that in practice, you can't create that game experience, especially with the diversity and all these teams that you're facing. We're talking about all these teams wailing on each other at different times and bringing different things to the table, so I gotta imagine that in and of itself is a little bit challenging that it just takes some time, and which is why you got exciting things coming down the stretch here with, you know, just one game left of the regular season and playoffs starting.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially cardio was the biggest thing for me. Especially, you know, game reps, it's kind of like even practice, it's a different type of cardio. Like first couple games, I would just get really tired and trying to push through that. But I'd say now I'm getting a lot of my cardio's back. And then just the mental aspect of, you know, trusting my foot, and making, like, knowing that if I land hard, like, everything's gonna be all right. And also another thing was, you know, kind of my leg was a lot weaker than my left one, so just it kind of felt uneven for a little bit. But, you know, and my right leg would get more fatigued, like I started getting shin splints early on, and which everything's kind of going away now, but it's still a little, like, weaker than my other leg, so it's trying to get that back.
How do you develop that trust? I mean, for those of us who don't have to worry about going out there and trying to compete at a very high level, it says, oh, I got to trust it. That's easier said than done. Was there anything that you were able to do to try to help that process along?
Yeah, it is hard to do, but honestly, it just came with playing. I just tried to play as normal as I could and not try to, you know, use my left leg more or not use my right leg as much. I mean, that's how you get injured again. It's like not using the thing. But I just keep playing and just it's pretty much just trust it. Trust that it's going to be all right and the doctors are right and you're ready to play.
Let's talk about tomorrow. And actually, we'll talk about the next two games because it's kind of a fun way to end the regular season and start the playoffs. You got East tomorrow night, and then you got West in the playoff game a week from Friday. What about the East game? Because it was before you came back, right? They played the first time, and it was a tight game, and East was able to pull it out, and this time it's on your court. What do you expect tomorrow night? Obviously, it's a great game to kind of launch into the postseason, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm expecting like a high-energy game. I know Jesse just got back from mono, so you know they're kind of trying to get ready to roll for playoffs, kind of basically get their stride kind of like we are. And I think it's a big one just in the fact that you want to win going into playoffs and be on the right foot. Like, we don't play for another week, so we don't want to hang on a loss and, you know, kind of be down on ourselves, you know, be high up energy, you know, after a good win against a good East team who's number one seed. And then, yeah, just be ready for West.
Well, what about that game? Because obviously, I tell you, I don't know. I mean, I think Cade Felch had the game of his career the first time around.
And Xavier,
and then Xavier had the game of his career. I hope there's nobody else that's sort of waiting to do that. But seriously, I mean, obviously, those are two very competitive games, and obviously there's going to be a lot of energy in the field house. As you said, you guys know each other.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's a lot to unpack there. But after you get through tomorrow night's game, how are you going to look at preparing for that game? Because, I mean, I think the emotion of a playoff game, especially as a senior, is something that you have to be aware of, correct?
Yeah. I'm just not trying to look at it as my last game. You know, kind of think about not trying to dwell on, like, dang, my career's almost over. And, you know, be confident. And obviously Wes is I think they play hard. They're physical. Mm-hmm. So getting ready for that. And, yeah, just preparing as much as we can, just like any game we would, not just because it's playoffs.
What kind of matchup is Griffin Lang?
I played against Griffin since my freshman year, so a really good player. He's very patient. He makes the right play. I'm looking forward to playing. But also, while I was talking about my mom, even if when we win, I feel bad. Like, me and him we're close family friends.
Right.
So I feel bad for him that, like, you know, season's over, and it's just kind of like we're done playing each other. Yeah. So it's kind of just something sad, but, you know, obviously not going to think about that during the game. But
for your team to make the run you guys want to make, obviously, and for your season to continue and last as many games as possible, what do you think you guys have to do consistently down the stretch here that'll ultimately make you the most successful on continuing the season? Because it's one and done if you don't.
I think we've been playing a lot better defensively. I think playoffs is won defensively. If you can, you know, guard up and play hard, I think that's key in winning playoffs, because sometimes you just don't hit your shots. And especially when there's like that, like Friday, there's going to be a lot of energy. You know, you're going to be a little... Some people get a little nervous, and, you know, it's a big shot here and there. But, you know, I think we play best in transition, continue to play in transition, just, you know, playing hard, winning 50-50 balls, I think will really help our team.
Real fast, before our final question, do you get nervous in big situations?
I used to, not anymore, though. I kind of, you know, from playing football to basketball and playing basketball all my 4 years, it's kind of just... I don't really think about it anymore. I've had plenty of situations that I was able to grow from, and I just don't really think about it.
That's a good way to be. Yeah. And I guess our final question, and now it's a really good question, since it is your senior year, as you wrap up a long high school athletic career, what piece of advice would you give a freshman like yourself when you first came in at DC Everest, that piece of advice to take as a freshman to carry through their career?
Yeah, so I got a couple things. But one is, you know, don't take your time for granted. Like I said earlier, it goes by it's like a blink of an eye. And by the time you're going to college, then you'll be working. So just don't take your time for granted. What we're talking about with football is don't play, focus on one sport, do whatever like you love. If you play three sports, two sports, doesn't really matter, but, you know, do what you enjoy, and then just, you know, school, focus on school. School's obviously big. You get a lot of scholarships for doing good in school. Just work hard, and, you know, the best will come.
Cohen Preby, DC Everest High School boys basketball senior, Terrific young man. Great to talk to him. Time is 9:49. Coming up, our final segment of the morning, our daily history lesson and number for the day quiz here on 98.9 WXCO. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Wisconsin's next major election is already here. The race for state Supreme Court is ramping up with just a few weeks to go before the April 1st general election. Much like the race 2 years ago, this will determine the balance of power on the court. If Susan Crawford wins, the court remains in liberal control. If Brad Schimmel wins, the court flips back to a right-wing majority. But there are a number of differing dynamics from the race in 2023. That race, won by Janet Protasiewicz, was the culmination of a years-long effort for liberals to win control of the court. Now they're playing defense to keep that majority. This also begins a run of 6 years in a row with a race for Wisconsin Supreme Court on the spring election ballot. Because of which justices will be up in coming years, if Crawford wins this year, the court will likely remain in liberal control until at least 2028. Find more bigger picture analysis of the race in my latest column at the Recombobulation Area.
Matt and Air on Air.
A lot of federal employees got this fork in the road letter. You can stay, but you're not really guaranteed anything. Luann's husband is a Vietnam veteran.
I wrote a letter to President Musk. My husband put his life on the line for our country.
Wow.
You are putting my husband's life on the line right now by cutting all those programs that are keeping him alive at the VA. Please call your legislators and tell them to stand up. This is not what America is.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Chad Home Show, 98.9 WXCO, WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Time is 9:52 here on the 27th day of February of 2025. It is day number 58 of this year. There are 307 days remaining before we hit 2026. Some famous events have occurred on this date in history. Back on this date in 1951, the 22nd Amendment to the United States Constitution. I'll give you a quiz. Do you know what the 22nd Amendment is? I doubt it.
On the top of my head, I do not know.
The 22nd Amendment to the Constitution limits presidents to two terms. Oh. It was ratified on this date in 1951. On this date in 1955, Billboard magazine reported that 45 RPM records were outselling the larger, heavier 78 RPM platters for the first time. 1974, 51 years ago today, People magazine was published for the first time. On this date in 1997, God received an American Family Publisher sweepstakes entry mailed to Florida's Bushnell Assembly of God Church. The message began, "God, you may be already a winner."
Jeez.
I wonder if God won the jackpot. Probably not. On this date in 2013, Pope Benedict XVI presented his farewell address to Vatican City. And on this date in 2021, toy maker Hasbro announced that Mr. Potato Head would be changed to the gender-neutral Potato Head.
Hmm. Interesting.
Some famous people are celebrating their birthdays today. The Oscar award-winning actress, widow of the great Paul Newman, Joanne Woodward, 95 years old. Actor Adam Baldwin is 63. Actor Grant Shaw of Melrose Place is 63. Former first daughter Chelsea Clinton turns 45. Josh Groban is 44. Actor Kate Mara from House of Cards, Chappaquiddick, and The Martian is 42. Jenny Farley is better known from Jersey Shore. You know what Jersey Shore is, the MTV show?
I've heard of it, but I haven't watched it.
Jenny Farley is J-Wow, one of the stars of Jersey Shore, 39 years old. And Jenny Boyd of Legacies and The Originals is 34. And if you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at 98.9 WXCO.
Happy birthday.
Some special events being acknowledged today. It is Big Breakfast Day. It is Protein Day.
Very important.
It is Retro Day. It is Strawberry Day.
Delicious.
It is No Brainer Day. And it is Pokemon Day. Alrighty then. It is now time for our number for the day quiz. Every day we give Ian Welsh three different choices. One is right, two are wrong for the number for the day. And based on the math, he should get one out of three right, 33%. So based on that, anything above 33% is a passing grade for the week. Anything below 33% is a failing grade for the week. But we want better than just a passing grade. We want him to have a winning week, which is more right than wrong. So 3 out of 5. And his best ever week is 4 out of 5. So that is something we can still get to this week.
Yes, it is.
So far this week, you are 2 right and 1 wrong. So you've already clinched a passing grade for this week.
But I can do better.
And today we're going to try to clinch a winning week.
Mm-hmm.
Supermarket
grocery carts.
Yep. Number for the day. The miles the average grocery cart travels in its life.
In its life.
These grocery carts, they don't usually change them out that much.
No.
So the miles the average grocery cart travels in its life.
Okay, what are my choices?
Choices are A, 3,000 miles. B, 30,000 miles. Okay. C, 100,000 miles. 3,000 miles,
okay.
30,000 miles, 100,000 miles.
Hmm. Is it just the average grocery cart?
Average grocery cart travels in its life.
3,000, 30,000, or 100,000. Okay, I'm just going to go with my gut here. I'm going to say 30,000. I'm going to go with B. It's my final answer. Lock it in.
All right. Number for the day. The miles the average grocery cart travels in its life is 30,000 miles.
Nice.
3 in a row. You got a winning
week.
That's
a lot of miles on a single grocery cart.
Yes, it is. But you've clinched a winning week, and now, tomorrow, you can
get a chance to
match your all-time best.
My record and make up for the last 3 weeks
of one
hitting 1 out of 5.
You're either cold or you're hot.
Yeah, that's you're the hot, between right now.
You were hot for 4 out of 5, then you were cold for 1 out of 5 for 3 weeks, and now you're hot again.
Yep.
All right, well, have a great rest of your day.
You too, Chad. Happy Thursday, everybody.
And thanks to Judge Susan Crawford for joining us. Tomorrow morning, Mike Clemens and Paul Micklig will be with us. Coming up next, it is Matt and Air on Air. Tonight, Wausau West boys basketball against Merrill, 7 o'clock. So lots on the plate. Have a great rest of your Thursday, and hopefully you'll be with us tomorrow. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Pat Kreitlow.
I'm back from Arizona, but no spring training games, just 4 days in a locked hotel conference room. I might have to vent a little Friday.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts, discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. An investigation's underway in New Mexico into the deaths of two-time Academy Award winner Gene Hackman, his wife, and their dog, after their bodies were found at their home in Santa Fe. CBS's Michael George.
Foul play not suspected at this point. Does that mean this was accidental at this point? We just don't know.
Hackman was 95. Get ready to pay more for imports. CBS's Steve Kathan.
President Trump says 25% tariffs on goods from Mexico and Canada will kick in next week. He had delayed them earlier, and he says he plans to double a 10% tariff on China.
A Pentagon memo indicates the Trump administration wants to remove all transgender service members from the military. CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland.
It may affect individual unit morale, depending on the person who's being separated. Across the board, I don't think it'll have a tremendous impact on morale, quite frankly.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
I'm Brittany.